Am I on? Yeah, good. Good. Praise God. The Lord is so good. The Lord is so good. That is amazing what He did for each and every one of us. I would like to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads and let's come to the presence of our good Father. Father, we come before your presence in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and asking that the communion that we have with the Holy Spirit, you will open our understanding to your word. You will clarify things for us that really are meant for us to understand clearly, because when you spoke, you didn't left anything out for us not to come to the true knowledge of you. I ask you, O Lord, that as we are here listening today to your word, that our hearts be recipient of your truth, and that we can just live a life that pleases you. Increase in us, Lord, and decrease us from ourselves. Let it be, O Lord, that you create in us a heart that is meek and humble as you are, O Lord Jesus, that we can be a true witness to a world that is lost, and that we can reach out to those that are going to be added to the number of the ones that belongs to you. These are perilous times, Lord, and we know it. And I ask you, O Lord, that you just set us firm in the rock of our salvation that is you, O God. You are our God, and there's no other. Thank you for this opportunity, O Lord, that you have given me once more. Lord, you have a way of saying things. I ask you, O Lord, that you pass a coal of fire on my lips, and I will just be dismissed. And it's that your presence and your word will come true, so we can just be obedient to it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know, but the Lord uses different people in different ways. They're expository preachers. The Lord has chosen for me to be a topical preacher, but also backed by the scripture in an expository manner. The thing is that the Lord give me titles to the messages, and I get shocked because I said, what am I going to say? I mean, this is something that is really kind of strong. It might be even controversial. It might be also that you give these titles to me because you want to really spark the attention for us to really just look upon what you really has already declared and how you have revealed yourself. And the title this morning for this message, the Lord has a way of saying things, putting words in God's mouth. Putting words in God's mouth. And the central scripture that the Lord gave me is in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 28. And I will ask Richard to please read it for me, for I've been having very difficulty with my eyesight. Amen. We have to understand and look at how interesting the title is. Putting words in God's mouth. When we deviate from the message of the gospel, of how Christ really brought the message, and the revelation of who God is, that God is our Father, many has deviated today, and from some pulpits in America, they're preaching a different gospel and a different. They have moved for the centrality of the rock of our salvation to bring something that entices the temporary things of this material world. They are not really bringing us to desire heaven or to be with our Heavenly Father. Not looking forward for that time when Jesus is going to come back for his church and take us home. Perilous times are coming ahead. I don't know if you listen to the news, but if you listen to the news, you get discouraged pretty fast if you don't have hope in Jesus. Because everything that is happening in the world today is chaos. I don't know, but I'm kind of not that young. Even that I look this good, you know, for my age. No, I'm just kidding. I remember when you never heard any problems in a country like Spain, you know. There was no chaos. The government was there established. As a matter of fact, there was a Nazi that ruled after Hitler was brought down, and it was Francisco Franco. He was a Nazi, and he was the one that was controlling Spain. And yeah, they might have differences in politics, but you never heard that from within Spain, a part of Spain wanted to become independent. Now it's happening in Catalonia. The Catalans, they want to really just change, you know. The Catalonians, they want to be independent from Spain. Have you seen what is happening in France? The Yellow Jackets, is that right? Have you seen what is happening in Great Britain with the Brexit? I mean, all these things that are just creating attention in our world, it's just really something that is just testifying about the signs of the times. But one of the signs of the times that is the one that we really had to pay attention that we have not, and I say we as the church, is the false teachings that are coming from the pulpits, not only in America, but also in Europe. We're moving away from the Christ of the Bible to really just put the Christ that we want for ourselves. You know, many people don't want the return of Christ. And this is in evangelical churches. Because if it's evangelical, you should just follow the gospel. Is that right? Well, because we're moving away from this, what is happening is that people are not really wanting to Jesus return, because what happens is that Jesus came first as the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. How many of you know that Jesus really is the perfect sacrifice? How many of you here as believers, because there's evangelicals that believe in Christ just only as the Son of God and not as God himself. Well, guess what? That's where we're moving at. This is what is being preached from many pulpits in America. We're just moving away from the reality of Scripture for the interpretation of man. And what we read this morning is exactly that. When we deviate and start putting a different gospel or teaching a different Jesus than the one that is in Scripture, what we have done is we have put words in the mouth of God. And that's a very dangerous position to be. For us preachers, we had to really check and recheck ourselves on what we are conveying when we bring the message. Because what happens is that in the yesteryears in Israel, there was false prophets that they came to the kings. You know, the prophets in the Old Testament are different than the prophets in the New Testament. And what I'm going to say this is because there's still prophecies, but the thing is that the prophets in the Old Testament, it was for the compendium of the completion of the word of God as it's written. You understand that? Is that right? I use the base for that in the scripture when Jesus says, all the prophets until John, referring to John the Baptist. In other words, in that quality that they were seers to the kings and all that, they had to bring the word of God to the people and let them know what God was doing. But there were also false prophets, there's false preachers and false teachers in our days. This is not an easy message, because what happens is that we have to adjust, really, and fine-tune our ears on what we're hearing. When Paul was preaching the gospel, after he persecuted the church, the first thing that when he was preaching is the Berean church would start checking the scriptures, and that referring to the Old Testament, because the New Testament was not written, and they were checking to see if what Paul was saying was true. And we have come to that point, and we have a paradigm that we are like a parallel to Israel. Have you known that? There's many things that we are not going in details because we don't do those studies. But we have abandoned the prophetic part of Scripture. Do you know that almost a third of the Scriptures are prophetic? And what it tells us that if the prophecies that they were told by the men of God really came to pass, specifically in the person of Christ, and they were fulfilled 100%, what it says to us that the prophecies that are to be completed in the church are not going to be fulfilled in the same exact manner, 100%. If God said it, that settles it. If you don't believe it, just get in the boat and start believing what God says. Amen? Because what happens is that there's so many things that confuse us in a world that is bombarding us from every corner, onto that the things that make you successful is to have material things. We need material things. Do you need money to pay your bills? Yes, you do. Do you need money to feed your child? Oh, yes. Your children depend on you. Is that right? There's nothing wrong with making money. The problem is when we start loving money. You know, you come and ask a billionaire, what is that? Are you satisfied with the billions that you have? He says, no, I want some more. Remember Charles Dickens' story, is that right? Oliver Twist, can I have some more? We always want more because we're not satisfied. But when we're in Christ, we understand to be content with what the Lord has given us. Whatever the condition is. If I'm sick, I'm going to praise God. If I'm healed, I'm going to praise God. Anyway, I'm going to witness God, because what happens is not the condition that I might find myself physically, but the condition that I'm going to be found myself spiritually. Now today, from many pulpits in America, there's an allusion to spiritual things, but not the holy spiritual things. There's been introduced mysticism, myth, kind of stories that they compel to our sentiments and emotions. You know, have you been in a conference of a motivator speaker? How many of you have been? I've been. Because I was trained as a salesman, so I had to get those so you can get pumped up, you know. Well, guess what, you know, because sometimes you have to have enthusiasm when you preach the gospel. That's no problem. But when my preaching is going to be just to allude to your emotions, instead of just bringing the truth of God to move your soul and your spirit to be obedient unto Christ, it happens that I'm doing you a disservice, because I'm getting you all hypered up. You walk out through that door, and when you find yourself against the things of the world and the things that an enemy comes and brings to you, you all of a sudden get deflated because you were only on an emotional state, and you cannot have the victory that Christ has given you by His Spirit. Next scripture, please, Richard. False teachers, as there were false prophets, that will deny the Lord that bought them. Is that right?
Yes.
You know, if we diminish who Christ is, it happens that we're not faithful on the revelation of the word. If anyone here, and I'm saying this so sternly that you really have to take this. If you don't think that Jesus Christ is God, repent and come to Christ. Because he's the one true God. Look at God being three in one. It happens that he decided to be like that because he's God. He can be whoever he wants to be. The thing is, can I accept who he said he is? Or do I have to figure out with my intelligent mind that God cannot be like that because I cannot accept him how he or who exactly he is? In this time of the fake spirituality, how many of you know about the New Age movement? Okay. New Age movement is a very spiritual. It has a lot of mysticism in it. It comes from the Eastern religions. It's not New Age. It's older than dirt, you know. Because Satan was the first one to question what God has said. Is that correct? What did he say to Eve? Did God really say that? The thing is, God did it. He said, the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day you will surely, now dijo, almost die. You will surely die. And the death happens. It was a spiritual chasm between God and man because of the sin that was intervening in the place because of disobedience. And what happens is that God has already designed a plan, a perfect plan. That's the reason that we have to be very careful. I am very zealous about my Christ. Because I know that the Lord Christ was the one that died in that cross. You know that there's been many people that have been crucified even before Christ. It was the way of the Romans to really instill what? Fear unto the people that were breaking the law in the kingdom of Rome or the empire of Rome. But the thing is that there's no other that can be equal to the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ like no other. The perfect sacrifice of God. The one that just came and took our place so we could have communion with our Father. The one that reveals the Father because the Holy Spirit comes and brings us on conviction that what he did, it was taking my place in the cross of Calvary because it was my sin that took him there. Next scripture, please, Richard. Amen. Can you read it again? You know that we men have to be said things twice. So for you ladies, only once, but for us, twice, okay? Amen. Very interesting, you know, that the triune God explains that there's no other but Him. You see, God that has no beginning and no end, He's eternal. For our finite minds, because we have a beginning, we have an end. Because every man born of a woman is going to die. Is that right? That's a guarantee. You might evade taxes, but I tell you, you cannot evade death, you know. Well, we avoid taxes now. We don't break the law. You know, those of us that have the conscience and the ones of us that don't have it, then we just try to get away with it. You know, it's so sad that many people that because I'm Christian, I don't have to abide by the laws of the land. That's not true. The scripture tells us otherwise. You know when we disobey and break the law? When that law is against the law of God. That's the only time that you can break the law. Because you're going to go and answer to a higher power. Amen? Look what he says. He says that Jesus Christ came to give us understanding. So don't play the, I didn't understand. No, God is clear. God is clear and in his word, he's specific about who he is. He don't give no chance for mistakes. Even that we know that there's many things of a new revelation, and I do quotations mark, there's no new revelation. Because at the time when Christ came, he came to give us understanding of the true God. When it's a specific saying, a true God, it means that there might be other people that teach a different God and it's a false God. Because there has to be one true, then there has to be one that is false. And we have to understand that when we have come to Christ, we came to the one true God. If you have come to him. If you have not come to him, do that as soon as possible. The time is running out. The promises of God to the church are going to be accomplished pretty soon. I don't know about you. You might have a defer, and we can defer in certain things in our faith on the timing of when God is going to do this or the other. But I tell you one thing, I'm waiting for my God. I'm waiting for my Savior because his promise was that Jesus Christ said this himself. And I will come and I will take you unto myself, for where I am, there you will be there also. His desire is for us to be with him. And it starts from now. When you come and receive him as Lord and Savior, when you confess him as Lord and Savior, when you believe it, and you confess it with your mouth and then you believe it in your heart that this is the one that really just give us that what? Relationship and connection to God. There's no other. Jesus Christ says in John 14:6, and he said it very clear in this manner. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me. And we cannot come to Christ unless the Father bring us to him. Look at how perfect the union of this triune God is. It's one God. One God. And it's the Holy Spirit that indwells in the believer, the one that convicts us of sin and leads us to repentance. And you know what? When the love of God is demonstrated, it happens that leads us to repentance because we know that he loves us. Amen? Can you imagine if God would give us what we deserve? Okay, we're sinners. Is that right? That's the reason we need a Savior. If you think that you're not a sinner, it happens that, you know, yeah, you're a sinner, that you've been redeemed. I'm not saying that you're still in the condition of sinner because now you can overcome sin because the Holy One lives in you, so he gives you the power to overcome that was enslaving you in the first place. But this is what happens when you come to him and he sets you free. What happens is he sets you free so you can live for him. You pass from friend, no, from slave to friend to child of God. Isn't that cool? I mean, that I can call him Father, that you can call him Father, that we can say, you know, when your children were little, it happens that they come, Daddy, 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 especially the girls. Oh, man, that melts at that. That's hard. You know, it doesn't matter. You probably just didn't want to give them what they're asking for, but, oh, she's so sweet, you know. I had to do, you know, of course, God doesn't act like us. You know, I'm glad that God is God. But, you know, if we call unto him, Daddy, please, I need you now. I need your strength. I need to walk in your strength. I want to be faithful to you. He will make it able for you to be able to overcome the world. Because the world is just against Christ. What is that sound? I think it's Psalm 2. If somebody knows it better, please correct me. But I think it's in Psalm 2. It says, why do the nations rage? And isn't that what is happening today? Because the Lord is coming. The promise of his advent is in his way. And I want to let you know one thing. You have to have that desire of really defending the hope that is living in you. Because if you don't have this hope, get it today. Get it today. Get it today. If you have a doubt, if you're fluctuating, if you're double-minded, one day I believe this, but I guess that probably this is not the whole story. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. How was in Genesis that it was said? Genesis 3, chapter 3, I don't remember the verse. But when the Lord was putting punishment on the actions of Eve and the actions of the serpent, this is what God said. I will put enmity against you, talking to the woman, and your seed, find out that there's no man's seed there. It says the seed of the woman. And then the seed of the serpent, because you will crush him on the head, referring to man, referring to Christ. And then he's going to bite you in your what? In your heel. Guess who is the heel of Christ but the church? We're the body of Christ. Why do you think that the enemy comes and attacks you so vehemently and in just a matter of trying to take your faith away? Try to take your faith away. You know why? Because that's the only thing that really just assure you that once you're saved, you're going to be always saved when you remain in the faith. There's many have departed from the faith because in the first place they were not saved. You see what I'm saying? There's many that has come close, almost saved. You want to be saved. You want that this faith that Christ has produced for you is really patented in your heart and that nobody can move you from there. Next verse, please, Richard. You hear that? Can you read it again? But I hear the next serpent may be by his cunning. Your mind may be seduced from a complete and pure devotion to Christ. For if a person comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or he received a different spirit, a spirit which he did not receive, or a different gospel. Not accepted. You put up with this splendid You see what the seduction of the false teachers are? Are doctrines of demons. What did he read? He read that the serpent deceived Eve. And that's what's happening today. Many are coming with a different Jesus, a mystic Jesus, a happy clappy Jesus, that you're going to be happy all the time, no matter what. No, you're joyful all the time. Happiness, it depends on the surrounding circumstances. That's what, oh, I have money today. I feel very complete because I'm going to have a little bit extra to get this or that I wanted to have. Or, exactly, that's temporary, is that right? Or, I have health now. I feel like when I was 20, I can lift that building, I can climb that tree, that mountain, whatever, and then we just feel so happy about it. Or, I completed the task of my life. I heard a testimony of a Jewish man. Remember the game Atari when they start coming with the electronic games? Is that right? How many of you remember that? I do remember because I saw, you know, I think I play on some coin machines that you have the Atari games and all that stuff. It was something became very video arcades. Remember that? When we will have our hair do some crazy deal and all that stuff and dress funny too because our mother did not clothe us. You know, it was us that we just used to do that. You know, remember Punky Brewster? What happened is this. You know, this man became a billionaire. This Jewish man was accomplished. All of a sudden, it happens that he started having some kind of headaches and some kind of trouble. And he could not sleep, so he was getting into depression state. Being a billionaire, he went to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist, you know, they know what to do. They're going to go and numb your conditions, you know, if you're desperate and all that stuff. Let's give him some Valium, and, you know, so you're high now. And from Valium, some people graduate like he did to cocaine and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, from a billionaire, he was a week away from being homeless. Interesting, huh? Many of us measure success as having money. Other of us having fame. This guy had the fame because he was famous in the community of technology and all that stuff. But when Christ is not there, you're just an empty soul. And what happens is that sometimes God has to take us to all this, he had to take us to the valley so we can hope that we can be pulled out of there, because if we don't have need of God, we will not call on him. And you know when we don't have need of God? When we as sinners, we deny the deity of Christ. And we don't consider what he has done in the cross for us. You know, many people talk about Jesus, and you said, do you know Jesus? Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. No. Hold on. Let me do that question. Do you know Jesus? Oh, yeah, I know about Jesus. I have an aunt that she's a Pentecostal, you know, and I know everything. That and that's the way that they know Jesus. They know Jesus by reference or by somebody else's experience, but they don't really know Jesus. They don't know him as their savior of their life, their Lord of their lives, because they have not come to be convicted that they have a need of a savior. Because the sinner do sin, and he doesn't consider it to be wrong. Is that right? I mean, we were all sinners. I know when I sin, I like sin. Oh, man, I pursue sin like if there was no tomorrow, you know, when I was a sinner, when I didn't have Christ in my life. As an atheist, I was my own God, because then I don't have to give accountability to anybody. I can live my life the way I want it. It's my life anyhow. How many times our children tell us that when they grow to a certain age? It's my life. Well, in a way it is, but in a way it's not, because your life belongs to Christ. So you had to come to him so you can have eternal life. Remember what he read in 1 John chapter 5? The one true God and eternal life. Because if that's what you need, and we all need eternal life, it happens that we have to come to Christ. There's no other place where that life can be found. Next scripture, please. You see how cunning the enemy is? Because you have not come to the truth and your heart is not satisfied with the truth of God, it happens that all of a sudden these new revelations come around and deviate you from what is already being established. What is the foundation in your life? Are you in the rock of your salvation, Jesus Christ? Can you imagine this? I have a wild imagination. Let's see, the people of Israel are walking from one place to the other, in a place that it would have taken 14 days to go to where the promised land was. It took them 40 years because they were hardened in their hearts. And you know what? The rock that provides water for these million guys, it was following them. Isn't that awesome? A moving rock. And it happens that God spoke to Moses and he says, speak to the rock and he will give you waters. And he gave water. And God provided for them manna in the desert. And then, because we are kind of snob, is that right? Because even we Christians, sometimes we think that we're holier than somebody else. Oh, no, they are in that problem because that's what they want. No, Satan has deceived them, and that's the reason that they are away from God. So we have to reach them with the love of Christ and let them know the truth. Come on, open your eyes. Satan is deceiving you. And we have to reach out to the lost. You know that we as a church have to understand one thing. We live our life like Christ is coming today. And we plan for the days of tomorrow because the Lord says that we have to be sensible. But you know that many churches don't teach prophecy and they don't teach the returning of Christ because they have a church program of a building program of 10 years. Well, if the Lord is coming today, why we have to have a building program that it takes 10 years? Because I don't know when it's going to happen. But I'm waiting for him today. If it don't happen today, tomorrow I will be waiting for him. Those who wait upon the Lord, what happens? Somebody can, I know that somebody knows that verse here. Like the wings of what? And what does the eagles do? They soar, is that right? You don't see them all the time flapping, they soar. Because what they do is they just scan all the area for what they're going to hunt, their food or whatever, and they just can contemplate. It's a very well thing for the Christian too. If we soar, we can contemplate everything and we can distinguish what is the food that we want to eat or the one that we don't need to eat. Is that right? And that's what's happening. The teachers of today are moving away with this myth of a new thing. A new thing. I tell you, I met the Lord in 1974, and the gospel has never become old to me. It's so new as if it was the first day I believe. You know why? Because he don't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in him, all things are held together. I don't go anywhere else. Do you have something better? I want to hear that. Does anybody have something better? Let me tell you the difference between religion and this is quoting Pastor Robert Jeffress. You know the difference between religion and Christianity? Religion is on the do's. Do this, do the other, you know. And because you want to gain God's favor to make it to heaven. Let me tell you what the difference is, because Christianity is done. It's what Christ did. Hallelujah. What Christ has done is what he's going to see us, oh Lord, that we can just be in the presence of the Almighty God. I'm glad that I quit religion a long time ago. You know what? I was a preacher and a missionary in Colombia. I got stoned in Colombia. Not stoned like this, okay? Stoned with rocks. Let's make the... But I was growing to be a legalist. Get what the Lord allowed. He allowed me to fall so I can understand his grace. Amen. You know that God is the God of a second and a third and a fourth chance, because he will never be unfaithful. We can be unfaithful, but he remains faithful because it's his love for us, the one that brought us to him. Is there another scripture?
Yes. Or,
okay. You see, when we start drifting away from that is what God has said as our way, and Jesus Christ says, I am the way. When we start drifting away from Jesus, and it happens that we're looking for that new thing, because I cannot call it revelation, it's a new thing, you know. Then we start, all of a sudden, we're moving away from Jesus. It happens that our conscience starts getting seared, because then we don't value the cost of our salvation. You have to understand that what the Father gave for us was the best in heaven, the darling of heaven. Became flesh so I can become and you can become a child of God. Amen. People might think that was easy for God. No, it was not. To see his son upon that cross, scorned for the ones that he came to save. Showing us a love that nobody else can show us. Not even my mom. And I tell you, I discovered how much my mom loved me, because she made pasteles. It's a kind of a criollo or creole kind of food that we do. Well, guess what? Rafi wanted to be brave. And I asked her for a recipe and all that stuff. And I did this. I tell you, I know how much she loved me. Goodness sake, that's a lot of work, you know, to make that food. So I said, wow, Mom had to really love us, because she did them every year, you know. But we don't know how much God loves us. And that's not to trivialize this matter. Till we come and know how much it cost him what he gave us. Amen. Now, this is, I'm going to ask you to find me that scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, 4, and 5. And that's the reason that we had to contend for the faith. Because this thing that is happening in the church is the apostasy. There's churches that are full with thousands of people, and probably, hopefully, 20% of those people might have come to know Christ. Those that have come to know Christ in these mega churches and all that stuff, eventually they move out and find a church like ours where we can love each other. You know what I'm saying? In a mega church, you have your cliques. And this group, you know, I remember a brother that comes here and visits with us once in a while. And he told me this. He went to this church. And he went to say hi to these people that are sitting by his side. I'm not going to say what church was this because that doesn't matter. We pray for them that they come to know the love of Christ, you know. And it doesn't matter how small or how big the church is. If the notion of Christ is really becomes real in the hearts of the believer, then we know that we have to love one another regardless of our position in life, you know. There might be a person that is a doctor, a lawyer, and all that stuff, a prestige person in the community, and all that stuff. And these brothers sit down by their side. Well, he's not that. He's just a common man, a hard worker, with a good trade, and he makes money and all that stuff. And he says hi, and people kind of like give him the cold shoulder, you know. You're not at my level, man. I don't know who you are. You know what I love about my church? And I say my church because I know I belong here. Orchard Road Church, one of the things that it is make you feel welcome because that's how we have to be. You know why children that are young join the gangs? Because they make them to feel part of them. You know why so many people walk away from the churches? Because they don't feel that they belong. And you know why they don't belong? Because you don't show that love that Christ has for them when you reach at them and let them know sincerely, I love you. And they will feel that truth if you are sincere. Because, you know, there's so many things, you know, that are fake today. But one cannot be in the heart of the believer, and that's love. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and for those who are superstitious, 13 is a number, is that right? Well, no, it's not, because 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, hallelujah, because that's what God brings us to teach us. To love one another. That's what Jesus Christ says. If you love one another, you will be my what? Disciples. You know, he even says that in this you will be known to be my disciples and that you love one another. If I cannot love Richard, then it happens that I fail. I am a fake Christian. If I cannot love this man who is here, if I cannot love that man that is out there, if I cannot love that redneck pastor that I have. Yeah. Of the five pastors here. Hallelujah. You know, because this is the bond that happens to us. If I feel different than Connie, or I feel different than Lonnie, or any of you, then it happens that I have failed because I'm not any different. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. You're my brother. You're my sister. And I'm going to express that truth because Christ make it real in my heart. It's not me. It's not you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in me, the one that makes the difference. It's the one that really just show who God is. Don't look for any other God. Please. Forget about these new things, about these new revelations. Forget. Believe that the God that is in Scripture has revealed himself because he was the one that initiated this matter. Okay. Yes, Donnie. Amen. She read it in the Amplified. Is that right? Praise God. Did you see that was no? Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are what? Not worldly, but are powerful. What? For the knowledge of the true God. Remember who the true God is. Who is it? Amen. Is that right? The everlasting life. You know, so if we're going to hold, when we just go into an argument, and I tell you, I argue a lot out there. Oh, yes, I do. You should see how many so-called or Christians or the other people, you know, the cults, they come and they want to dispute what this scripture means. And when you just hold them on to what the scripture says and what the word of God says, because remember, do you know that Satan can't quote scripture? He did to the Lord Jesus, you know. But the thing is that the scriptures are a group of things that are holy, but when it becomes the word of God, it's when the Spirit of God bringing alive to your life, and then all of a sudden you say, ooh, this is true. You find out that, because how many times you have read the scripture and you have read it before, and all of a sudden, oh, goodness sake, my understanding is just being blown away. I understand now what he means. I can see for what God wants me to see, not what I want to see. Because what I want to see is accommodating unto my favor. But when I see what God sees, it's unto his glory. You see the point? You see the point? I cannot come asking God just for my benefit. I have to come to God and ask him for his glory to be manifested, because then I know that I'm going to be joyful because God has accomplished in me the understanding of the truth. I would like to follow up, but I know that the other day, I think it was supposed to be like a 30-minute sermon, and it was about an hour and 13 minutes or something like that. And you know, and I am not going to be holding you here any longer than I have to. But you know, what I ask you, please, is look upon what God has said. Apply it unto your life and be the witness that God wants you to be, and reach out to the lost, because the coming of Christ is soon. You know what? Many people don't believe this, and that's okay. But the thing is this, when you have the urgency that Christ can come at any time, you don't want nobody left behind. Okay? You know what the motto of the Marines is that right? What is it, Brother Buck? I know that you are another branch, but don't mind left behind. Do you want a loved one of yours to be left behind or not to go to heaven because you don't want to offend them, because, you know, they have their way of belief. And I think that at the end, you know, everybody's going to make it to heaven. Well, you know, I was accused of preaching hatred one time here, because I said that the only way that you can come to heaven and to the Father is to Christ. You know? And I will do it service to my Savior and Lord if I would not take that stand. Because if all ways lead to heaven, then it happens that Christ died in vain. And that's not true. Thank you, sister. You know, let's look upon the time that we have left in this earth, being by we come to the Lord by he calling us home, or when the Lord appears. And let's redeem the time and not give up. Keep on praying and praying and praying till you say, whoa, what else am I going to pray about? I have mentioned this guy 15 times. It doesn't matter if you mention that guy 100 times. When you stop from praying, the Holy Spirit is going to take over and he's going to pray for you and intercede in the favor of those that you're presenting to him. We have a big responsibility, church. We preachers, and we have five of them here that have been ordained, have also a great responsibility because God is going to call us an account for what we spoke. And that's the reason I bring today to you. And I pray to the Lord, Lord, I will never want to put words in your mouth. Let it be that your word is the one that comes through. That your truth is the one that reveals. And that someone can come to you in Jesus' name. God bless you.